All right, welcome to another episode of The Rugged Gospel. Today I am here with my friend George Rentana. I had him on the podcast one time back in, when was it, man?
2019, bro, pre-pandemic.
2019. Man, that was pre-pandemic. It's been a while since then, for sure.
Yeah.
But welcome you back on, man. Appreciate you coming on.
No, thank you for having me, bro. It's definitely a lot has changed in 2019, bro. Look at us now, both married and living the married life.
Yeah, it's different now. But I appreciate you coming on, man. Today's topic, I'm very excited to kind of dig into it and see what kind of the conversation brings a little bit. But before we start anything, man, why don't you just introduce yourself a little bit to the listeners? And I know last time that we had the podcast, you kind of gave a little bit of your testimony, right? With the Marines, right?
Yes.
And everything that happened back then. So if you can maybe share a little bit of that, just so the listeners can kind of get a background on you, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, no, thank you again, brother. It's good to be on here again. So yeah, my name is George Rentana. I am a Marine Corps combat veteran, and yeah, just a little bit about me, man. Gave my heart to the Lord in 2010. Didn't grow up in church. Got saved later on in life. I was 23. I'm a suicide survivor, survived IED explosion in Iraq. I was wounded in combat and depression, anxiety, went through all that. I used to be an alcoholic and, you know, met the good Lord and he did a work in my life. And, I'm married now, you know, I have four beautiful daughters, my beautiful wife. I actually am the president and CEO of a nonprofit faith-based organization called Veterans in Action Incorporated. And we focus on the areas of faith, family, and community, also with, you know, mental health and suicide awareness. So in a nutshell, man, that's who I am. That's what I've been doing over the last couple of years since we last met. You know, besides getting married and having more kids, bro, now I have this nonprofit, and we're seeing God do great things in our community, man, which is very needed. Our communities are very, very much in need for us to go out there and reach the lost, you know. So yeah, that's a little bit about me.
In a nutshell, I know if you, as the listener, if you kind of want to go back in time on the podcast and listen to the other episode, he goes a lot more in detail of surviving that and kind of seeing that with suicide. And I know we go a lot more deeper into that conversation in that other episode. So if you want to know a little bit more about his specific testimony, I would definitely go check that out. But let's start this conversation, man. So today we're going to be talking about the purpose of the church on earth, right? And there's so much to this that we can go so many ways. Let's start with that. What is the purpose of the church here on earth? What would you say to that, man?
I would say just, bro, the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, I like I said, I didn't grow up in church, so now that you know, I've been saved for a couple years now, and I've noticed that our purpose. You look at the Old Testament, bro. It was come and see, but now with Jesus Christ coming, bro, it's go and make. So the purpose of the church is to go out into the highways and the byways, to go out and reach people. You know, to get outside of our formalities and our four walls and really be about the kingdom. You know, the term kingdom for me is kind of a new concept over the last couple of years. It's really resonated in my heart, man, just seeing how much need there is outside, bro. Like, we're the church, we're the called out ones, right? The ecclesia, right? And our purpose, Jesus said, to love God with all your heart, mind, and strength. And second that, to love your neighbor like yourself, you know? And so I believe biblically that the purpose of the church is just to go and disciple, go reach people, go walk with people, you know? It's very simple. I just believe that in today's society, church culture, we've made it a lot harder than what it really is.
I think when I was thinking about this, of course, the purpose of the church here, you know, the Great Commission, which is go and preach the gospel to all nations, right? That's the main thing that we are here for, right? And there's so much that we can go into as far as this goes, right? Of course, a lot more goes into just going out and making disciples, right? We can go into maybe how do we do it, right?
Yeah.
And you know, there's and doesn't kind of takes us to the next thing that we kind of want to talk about. But, you know, you mentioned the four walls and all of that. So I think I kind of want to go into that a little bit. We see the church, of course, being in a building, right?
Yes.
But also outside of the building, right? So let's chat a little bit on this, because I think both can kind of work together. We need church inside a building as a congregation and a place where we go and worship and get together, right? We see it in the Bible, and it talks about us congregating together, right? And building that there, but also the whole thing of going out and reaching out to the world, it means we have to leave that building, right? So tell me a little bit more about this. Like, what do you think the difference is between building and outside? And
what
are your thoughts on this as far as how we are doing as the church?
Well, you know, just the background, I used to be an assistant pastor in a pretty big apostolic church, you know, credentials, license, and all that at the Bible college. But I realized that, you know, there's more than just, you know, preaching behind the pulpit, preaching to the people, right? You know, understand that the mission of the church is basically to prepare the way for the final establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. So, you know, I think our purpose is, you know, as the Great Commission is, you know, getting outside the four walls is how do we really make ourselves available to God to be used in these aspects, you know, of faith, family, and community. You know, you take example like, you know, just being, you know, in and out of church, you know, we meet on a Sunday or we meet on a Wednesday, you know, but what happens the other, you know, there's 168 hours a week. What happens the rest of the time? You know, what are we doing? So, you know, for me, it's like, how do we take it out? It's simple, bro. It's like just doing life with people. You know, that's all Jesus ever did. Jesus Christ, all he did, what was it that he had after he preached, after he healed and he fed them? The multitude still followed him. Why? Because he just did life with people. They wanted to be around. You know, sometimes we get at this thing of come, you know, I believe as a church, the kingdom of God is also within us. You know, sometimes it's like, oh, I see a need. Oh, come to my church. God will heal you. Nah, bro, you could pray for the person right there, man. You can, you know, give them a word of encouragement. And maybe it's not necessarily us shoving doctrine and religion out there. It's like grabbing coffee with someone. You know, just an example, over the last 7 months, there's this young man I've been working with. Didn't believe in God, nothing like that. I just been meeting with him through a mutual friend, coffee. He was a recovering alcoholic. Long story short, bro, you fast forward 8 months, he shows up the other day, gives me his 5 month sober chip, and he just gave his heart to the Lord. Like that relationship, that going out into the highways, you know? And it was never me, like, come to my church, come and see. It's like, no, let me bring the gospel to you. Let me share to you with what Jesus has done just by relationship. And I think that the activation of the church is, you know, the purposes of it is, you know, we worship, you know, we fellowship, we disciple, and to be on the mission, to be on the mission to understand that there are people out there that they may never set foot in the church. We may be the only Bible they ever read. You know, am I taking the time to really understand and see through the lens, through the eyes of God, you know? You know, and I kind of started getting convicted more about that, you know, a couple years ago when I realized I'm going to church on Sunday and Wednesday, and, you know, just in my neighborhood, I was supporting missions and paying missions, but then I started getting convicted because two of my neighbors are sheriffs, and they would see me every Sunday get in my suit and go. So for almost like 2 years, bro, I never talked to my neighbors, but they would see me get in my car and go to church. And the Lord just started convicting me, like, dude, I'm over here supporting all this stuff, but I got neighbors on my street that don't even know who I am. I've never once even attempted to share the gospel with them. And, you know, but I was, in my mind, it was like, as long as I go to church, you know, as long as I do my check in the box and, you know, I live right, but what about the law? You know, so I think that more than ever, our function as a church is to really understand and discern that people are in need. And we have to be activated because God has called us, right? God has ordained us as ambassadors, as high priests, to go out and fervently reach these people that, you know, may never set foot, but we can be the gospel to them, you know? I don't know if that's making any sense.
Yeah, no, it is. And I mean, just as you were speaking right now, I was kind of just thinking, right? And we see Jesus, like, we see him going to the synagogue, right? We see him going to church in the Bible, but at the same time we see him going everywhere, right? We see him going into places, we see him preaching on mounts, right? We see him going to eat with people. We see him, you know, going from city to city, from place to place, preaching the gospel, right? But we see both things, right? So I think, at least for me, it's something that needs to, how do I explain it? It needs to happen, right? Both things need to happen, right? I think you need to go to church, but at the same time, you need to also reach, right? Like you were saying, like it's not all just quickly just inviting them to church right away or shoving a word right down their throat right away. Maybe ask them how they're doing, right? Maybe if you see that they're going through something, listen to them, be there for them, right? Grab coffee with them, like kind of like you were mentioning. I think, you know, a lot of the times we go back in time and we kind of see how everybody did it before. And sometimes, yeah, it still works in many cases. People want to be heard. But nowadays, it's become a little bit different, right? People want a relationship with the person before anything else, right? And I don't see anything wrong with that. I think at the end of the day, the message and the gospel is the same, right? It's just some things change, right? It's just, and we have to adapt to that. We're not changing the gospel. We're not changing the word. I like to put it like as a different rapper, right? A different taste, right? But at the same time, when you were kind of saying that, like, I think it's also a focus thing. And like, where are we putting our focus as a church, right? And of course, I believe we need to feed the ones that we already have, keep them fed and keep them, you know, right with God and that relationship with God, and keep feeding the ones that we have at church. Not kind of putting them to the side because they're already saved. But at the same time, we need to go out more.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, and that's a good point, brother. And I think our focus as a church, 21st century, more like American church, it's we've been so focused on attracting instead of deploying. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We attract. Like, how many revivals do we need? Revival, revival, revival. The word revive means what? To bring back from the dead. So if a church is constantly having a revival, does that mean it's constantly dead? After a while, you don't try to revive something that's dead. Revival, convention, revival, and this. Cool. You know, we have a whole neighborhood that's in need. You know, the marginalized, the single mothers. The Bible says in the book of James, true religion is to visit the widows and the orphans in their affliction, right? Many say, like, Lord, you know, when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. Lord, when did we do these things? Such as you do as unto them, you've done to me. And I feel like that's where we get stuck in church culture is we're so focused on attracting the next big thing, the next best praise team, the next big screen, the lights and the show, you know, instead of deploying. And I believe that you're right. You know, we come to church and we get fed and we get saved. But at what point, Paul said, will we continue milk? Will we get the meat and we'll mature where God can send us out? You know, he sent them out two by two. He didn't hold on to them. He said, greater works shall ye do in my name after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, right? So we know God was doing all these things. And I believe we kind of get stuck there. And that's where I personally felt, you know, just if I'm transparent, you know, I was doing all the preaching and I was preaching on Sundays behind the pulpit. And I felt stuck, but like, there's got to be more to this. Like, you know, and again, nothing against that. But it's like, how many more conventions do we need? How many more revivals do we need? How many more church buildings do we need? You know, if COVID showed us one thing, was one, this thing can get shut down quick. And even within church culture, how many people had a relationship just with the church and the pastor, but never with God? And they never came back. You know, we look at that. And I think that's where we lack in discipleship is like, you know, part of the major lack of discipleship that we see in today's church culture is that many are still living in that Old Testament where they come and they see, but not realizing that, you know, God is already in the new covenant. I'm just reading off some notes I wrote earlier, like God fulfilled his highest priestly duties with his death, blood, and resurrection. He kept both sides of the covenant, old covenant, new covenant, right? And now he's emboldened us to send us out. And I think that when we get stuck and that have a whole neighborhood that's on its way to hell, it hasn't heard Jesus. You know, it's cool. We gather in the masses, you know, but you know, if we were to The Bible says, look up, the fields are ready, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And it's, I believe it's easy to gather in church. It's easy to come. It's hard to go out there and do life with people and really understand the need. And I think I shared this when I met with you in the first podcast. Is like, for me, when it comes to humanity and souls, like, I take it seriously, because being a combat veteran, now that I'm saved, I lost a lot of friends overseas, and I know they weren't saved. I know where their soul's at. They're damned. They're lost. And that just stuck with me. Like, man, we have a mission as a church. And I think that a lot of times we get so caught up on everything but doing what God has called us, you know, and you're right. You know, we have to gather. God never meant for us to live in isolation. He never meant for us to, you know, be one man. No, we need each other, the fellowship of the saints, the iron sharpening iron. But also, you know, he never meant for us to just meet once a week and listen to someone else talk or sing about it, but rather for in community us to go out there and reach the lost. Because, you know, one thing I've learned with our organization, Veterans in Action, like, we see the need, brother. Like, I mean, just different demographics of people that in odd circumstances, they may never come to church. You know, you take someone that has a child with severe bipolar schizophrenia, they're not going to come. You know, they have mental health, but can we take it to them? Can we establish a home group where it's going to cost us time. It's going to cost us, you know, it may be unorthodox to meet with someone at a coffee shop, but if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, you're going to tell me the Holy Ghost can't fall in a coffee shop? Brother, I was in a veteran Bible study in a garage. And in the middle of that Bible study, bro, a veteran, Vietnam veteran, who had stage 4 melanoma cancer, stood up and started testifying because the cancer fell off his face. But in church culture, like, it wasn't in my church. I didn't see it. It doesn't count. Bro, God's moving. You know, God's moving. God is showing us that, you know, it starts with us. Like, we have to go out. You know, Jesus has already made the way. You know, he's paved the way. And I believe that we're equipped. We just get stuck in that mindset of like, oh, as long as I come, we're good to go. I do my not all, you know, not all. Some of us, like, you know, yourself, we see that there's more, you know, but they come, they check in the box. But what about the ones that you see on the daily or on your job site or at school or family members, you know? Like, I was talking to my wife about this, just even most recently. We've been spending a lot more time with her family from her dad's side. And God is just, bro, they're coming on their own to the house wanting to hear the gospel. But prior to that, we were so busy on Sunday, we would attend no family function, no this. It was all about church, 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 church. But yet I have a whole family that's on its way to hell. Like, something had to shift in my mindset. And that's when I believe God gave me the revelation. Like, it's about his kingdom, to establish his kingdom, to go forth.
No, yeah. And honestly, like, kind of as you were talking, and like, I usually try to do that, like, when I'm on a podcast, kind of like really listen in and kind of start processing like kind of what the person's saying, at the same time kind of think about it really like deeply, as deeply as I can, really. And a lot of the stuff that you said, you know, I agree with. Like, I think, you know, we have all these things, and like I said, I personally, right, I don't see it as a bad thing for people to have conventions or gather together, right, or whatever it is here and there. I just think, if we really go even back into history, let's say the Apostolic Assembly, right? We go back in history in the Apostolic Assembly. A lot of those conventions were not just for people that were already saved to gather.
Yes, yes.
It was to bring people,
yes,
that didn't know about God. And to me, that's where it should go back to.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just a bunch of believers meet together and worship, which is great. And I mean, I've gone to many of them, and it's great. But I think, how many people would we reach if we just did that? Like, I remember one of my friends telling me a story. This was at convention. And I think they were all at a restaurant. And there was no place to sit but in the bar area of the restaurant. And so he didn't have anywhere to sit. So he just went to sit at the bar area and have his food. And a guy next to him, you know, started chatting. And he invited him. He was like, hey, like, we're having an event like across the street. Why don't you come? And he was just like, well, like, you guys are all dressed up in like suits and everything. And like, I had a couple of drinks and I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt. Like, I don't feel like I can go, because I mean, I would be out of mm-hmm. place. And that kind of stuck with me. And I'm like, I mean, if we have these big events, right, which again, I'm not against those things, but at the same time, if we made it to where people could attend, right? And where we reach more people from that specific city that we're hosting the event at, right? If that was more of the mindset that we're going in with, you know, of reaching and just reaching the lost. Yeah. You know, a good thing that I saw too, them working with more of community, right? One of my friends that I've also had on the podcast, his name is Jordan, and he runs Humanity Showers. And he did something with the convention, and they actually offered showers and a lot of stuff to homeless, right, back in Long Beach. So things like that that can affect the community in a positive way and reach to the community and let them know that they are there and, like, you could come to this, you know, kind of thing. But going back to, like, kind of what we were talking about, like, I think a lot of that, what you were mentioning, is true. Like, I think it's time for us to really go out, right, and preach and really show the community that we are there. A lot of the times our churches are there, we are there, but the community doesn't know that we're there because we don't go with the community. We don't work with the community, right? We don't try to work together or have things together, right, where the community can come more and see that we exist. Yeah. That we are there and that we are willing to work with them and help them in any way that we can, which kind of takes me to the next thing that we kind of want to talk about, which is community and the power of that, right? So let's go into that, man. I know that you run the veterans thing, and why don't you tell us a little bit more about that? And I know you're very much for community, so let's start with that. Tell us a little bit about how you started that and why you started that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no problem. So I got involved with community, like I mentioned before, because, you know, man, this is the rugged gospel, so I'm going to be real. So, you know, in apostolic or Pentecostal culture, I made it, bro. I was the preacher preaching. I had my license and, you know, oh, you've made it. But it was something there was missing. So I understood that God is calling us to go out, you know. So when I started getting involved in community, like, I understood that, you know, in community, the capacity of relationships being built was lacking because of us as believers, you know. And so I started getting involved because I just started doing history of just the United States, you know, the history of, like, when they removed the Bible from schools, or when they removed the prayer from schools, and all these laws that have been passed. And I started asking the question, where is the church? You know, where's the church? Where's the people of God? Why is all these, where are all the voices of men and women, you know? And a lot of the answers I would get was like, oh, brother, we don't get involved in that. We don't get involved in community because we're not of this world. I'm like, okay, so we're not of this world. Okay, I get that. Or we don't get involved because the Lord's going to call us home. I'm like, yeah, but the word says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I started getting involved when I really started seeing a need. And it started with us just, you know, feeding the homeless, you know. And you know, ironically, bro, it's just so crazy. As one time, we were feeding the homeless, starting to get some young adults and youth involved. And one of the ministers at the time comes up to me, a former pastor, and he said, you know, you're wasting your time doing this. I'm like, oh, why is that? So he's like, because although they may get saved, less than 1% will ever come to the church and be able to give because they don't have a job. So the mindset was like, okay, attracting. We're trying to attract. And in my mind, I was like, okay. So I just didn't know what to say. I was bewildered, bro. I was like, what in the world? But the need there, and then just working with veterans, being a veteran myself, oftentimes I asked myself, I was 23 when I got saved. You know, I walked into a church. I was at the end of the rope of my life. It was a miraculous thing, you know. But I often ask, like, where were the believers? You know, I knew so many people in the military that claimed to be born again, but they never once shared Jesus. You know, it's like, so you start asking these questions and this hunger for more. And for me, so with of reaching people in the most unorthodox way, we talk a lot about mental health and suicide prevention, but because we're faith-based, I can literally be I was recently at a nursing school talking about suicide and prevention, and I threw scriptures in my slide without them knowing. At the end of that event, a couple of students, to include staff, came up, admitted they had struggled with suicide, attempted it. Well, I got to pray with them right there. I got to pray with them in the name of Jesus, and God began to do something to the point where now they're involved with veterans in action, like just the mindset of getting out. So for me, it was noticing that there was more to do out there, that there was, you know, we had to really transcend the four walls of building and go out, you know. And so getting involved in all that really shifted my mindset of again attracting and more deploying and preparing others, you know, preparing other men and women, like, hey, okay, you're coming, you're getting fed. Now, at what time do we deploy you? So like, it's like the Marines. We don't stay in boot camp forever. We go to boot camp, you go from a civilian to a Marine, you learn the skills, then you go to Marine combat training, and then they deploy you. And I think that's the mindset that we lack. So, you know, and right now I'm in school for my master's in social work, and I'm minoring in pre-law and political science. You know, doors there that got, when's the last time we got involved in these type of arenas where they're passing all these wicked laws, they're coming after our children, but we will refuse to get involved because we're not of this world, but yet they're coming after our kids. That's that I believe, and I'll say this with all boldness, I believe that the state our nation is in is because the church was not a voice, because the church sat back and did nothing. When I say church, I'm talking about believers in general. No, I'm not talking about any denomination or organization, but the church sat back and just watched all this. You know, we didn't get involved. You know, we see it in our streets. We have family members that may be involved in things and drugs and alcohol. Like, where was the voice? Where was the voices of those crying in the wilderness? But for me, that's when it just didn't sit well with me. And I'm like, you know what, God, you have called us for more than this. So, you know, with Veterans in Action and other nonprofits, it seems like the nonprofits started doing what the church was called to do. Feeding the poor, visiting the widows, visiting the orphans, taking care of community, praying over the sick. And I'm like, whoa, so how can we combine the nonprofit aspect with the faith aspect and make it into this movement? And through that, bro, I mean, we've seen people give their lives to God. We've seen healings, deliverances, people get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. But again, in the minds of many religious, it'll be unorthodox, or it doesn't count because it didn't happen in a church setting. So that's where I have the conflicting mind, you know, the conflicting thoughts with others. But that's how we started, because I do believe there's such a need, bro, like just working with foster youth or domestic violence victims or recovering addicts, like, or just everyday people that there is a need out there. So when God was showing me this, he was like, it's about taking the kingdom to them, you know?
I mean, that's a lot to unpack, brother. I was just listening, and like, there's so much in what you said that I'm like trying to unpack it. But I think, you know, I guess in going more in detail in, like, you know, mental health and I know I've had many people on the podcast that talked about mental health, right? And people that, you know, are therapists, and my wife's going to school to in therapy as well. So it's something that I think slowly the church has been building to, at least for that side of things. But as far as everything else, you know, I think building a lot of programs that can help the community in those specific ways would be such a good thing, because a lot of people struggle with these things, and a lot of the times it takes more than just a prayer to fix that. I think God always comes first, but I think also they need other things. Like, I always mention it, and I always give that example. Not just with mental health, but just in general, there's so many things that as a church we can create programs for. You know, we go to a doctor, of course we pray, but we go to a doctor, right? And it's the same way for mental health, right? We have Jesus, but we can also go to therapy, and that's more than okay. We can start communities that we can start in our churches for those specific things, you know, that we have so many people that go to school, so many people in college and universities that are getting their degrees on these specific things, that are doing those things for the people out there. But what if we had them also, like her, in her mind, she went into that field, you know, do that at church. right? One of the biggest things that my wife is, because she wants to help the people in churches that don't get the help, right? Especially with the community, the Hispanic community and all that, you know. Like, no, estoy loco, and, you know, whatever. And we just don't get the help that we need because of just the culture of it. But there's just so many things that we can do as a church to really connect with the community and help the community in so many ways. Community for each other. I think we can build a community with the community, but at the same time, how can we create that atmosphere of community within the church? Because we isolated, like kind of you were saying earlier. We also cannot live, you know, just a life on our own and like be, you know, we need to be able to connect with each other and be able to talk with each other and create that community sense in the church, because I feel like it's in many churches missing. You know, I don't see a lot of people talking about their real struggles to each other.
Because they don't want to get judged, bro. They don't want to get judged. You start sharing. And you know, if you were to ask me, you know, what is the purpose of the church, right? If I could put it in a nutshell, it's like, you know, obviously we exist to reflect the love of God. But how do we do that? By being in our neighborhoods, being in our communities, being, and not just in them, but for them, right? In our nation, right? And even within that, and I think, you know, you brought up a point, how do we build that within other believers? You know, so just when I think of church, I think of the body of Christ, not one set church or organization. I think of the body, us. And it's because we're afraid to be vulnerable. ¿Qué van a decir de mí if they know what I'm struggling? And we'll keep, but see, that's the problem with, again, the religious culture. Not everyone's like that, but like, because of lack of vulnerability, if we can't empathize with, have empathy for one another, how am I going to do that for my neighbor down the street who doesn't even see, I don't even see, right? So I think a lot of it is unlearning a lot of the stuff that isn't founded in the Word of God. We have to assess that there are real issues. Like, you know, let me get this point first. I was recently talking to someone, he's a pastor, we were talking, and I was telling him, I was like, what's going to happen when someone who's, say they're transgender, they were a man and they went all the way out there, they became a woman, and then God saves them, and now they come. How do we have the resources to help? Because you're right, it's more than one prayer. And not everything, once they're freed and they're delivered and they're saved, if they're not possessed, they're going to have real issues. But we don't view it like that. You know, and if they can't be vulnerable, how do we expect our brother? And or how many times will we be in church and we'll see our brother struggling and never say nothing? Watch them grow cold in religion and ultimately just fade away. We'll never say. I think it's because we don't have vulnerability. We're not really there to confess our faults one to another. We have this mindset of big eyes and little U's when the Bible says that we're all level. For God is not a respecter of persons, you know. And I think that when we break down those barriers, and one, we see the need within the body of Christ, because there's also a need within the body of Christ. There's a great need within the body of Christ. When we learn to listen, when we learn to really love and really be vulnerable, then we can get a heart for people, you know, because then you see, okay, if there's a need here where I'm hearing the word every other day, there's got to be a need out there. And I think people are afraid to be vulnerable, afraid to share their struggles because they're going to be judged. They're going to be, you know, so if they're afraid, why is someone from the world who's total chaos going to want to come in? And, you know, and I think that's what I've learned as we walk with people, walk life with people, that relationships, man, building relationships matter, you know, really, really caring for someone, really being a brother born in the day of adversity, because there are needs, man. You know, there are great needs. When I got saved, I had the Holy Ghost. I got baptized. I still dealt with post-traumatic stress disorder for many years. It doesn't mean I wasn't saved. I dealt with it. And there were a few that were like, oh, you're not praying hard enough. It's a devil. But then there was a few that said, bro, you should probably go get counseling. Thank God for the ones that told me to go get counseling, because counseling changed my life. So if we were to bring that approach in the body of Christ, you know, it would just change the dynamic of it. And again, that's community, building a strong community where we really have all things in common, where we really care for our brother, where we really, like, where we really, like, if my Bible says if they're weeping, we weep with them. If they're rejoicing, we're rejoicing. But that culture, we were so, and I've seen other churches in other parts of the country that they're so community, but in America, it's the whiff from what's in it for me, you know, me. You know, revival for me, pray for me, instead of like, you know. And I think once we change that and we understand the aspects of community, it'll change the whole dynamic of church culture inside, cause us to have a love for the ones outside, to the point where we're so influential, it's going to change and it's going to shift things like never before. And that's the time we're living in. Like, people are longing, bro. Like, people are longing for community. You know, the university that I go to, like, the young people there, like, they don't know much about God, but they're so open. They're so longing because there's so much anxiety and depression. Anxiety is the number one mental health disorder right now, according to the DSM and the APA, American Psychiatric Association. It's the highest one. But yet, they're longing for that relationship. They're longing for something more. And that's where we, you know, and that's in and out of the church. There's lack of community in and out of the church.
Yeah, that's true. And just as you were, again, like, kind of saying, there's so much more that we can do. I know we spoke a little bit more about just, you know, working with the community and working for the community and all of that. But, you know, when we taking it inside and with each other, you know, I think we can grow that so much more. And like you were saying, we're just not, you know, vulnerable enough to share. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, it's true. We're going to feel, like, judged. Yeah. Right, we're gonna feel like we're gonna get put down, like we feel like we can't share anything.
Yes. Yeah.
I've gotten that from many people, right? With the men's thing, that the cave thing. I know you guys run a journeyman, right? It started because of you guys. I kind of like started something more down there in SoCal.
Awesome.
And a lot of the times there, man, like when we were meeting. That was a lot of what was coming up. It's like I'm struggling with this, but I don't feel like I can share that at church. I don't feel like I can talk to my pastor about this, or my youth leader about this, because then this and this and this and this and this is gonna happen, and that's why I don't do it, and that sucks, you know. Like, so I keep struggling with what I'm struggling with, and I was like, man. But there, it was creating a place where they could open up, where they could talk to us and tell us what they were going through, so we can then try and help them, and that's what we were kind of building. It was that community where you could be vulnerable, where you could open up and talk about what you're going through without feeling judged, and being able to take that accountability with somebody. It's so, kind of take that weight off your shoulders, because that's what it feels like, you know, and sharing it with somebody or having important, right? But yet, a lot of the times we can't have that, again, because we don't feel like we could speak it and say it.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I think that's so important that we create not only, you know, work with the community outside, but have community within the church as well. It's very important. And I think the more healthy that the church becomes, the more help we're going to be able to give. You know, and I think we need to put a focus on some of that, you know, and being able to create that community within, because we also, you know, can't feel others if we aren't. We can't try and fix things if we haven't fixed within. Like, there's a lot of work to be done, most definitely, and I think we can definitely, as a church, do better on that end of it. Organizations and all of that, like us as the people in those organizations or those groups, we also need to do the thing ourselves. Change begins. It changed by having a conversation with somebody and doing something about it, right? In your local. I think that's the only way that things can change, because if they try to change everything with everybody at one time, it's going to be very hard. But if us at the organisms and the organ bring the change and try and bring this things in community stuff and all of this, little by little, we can make a bigger change, right? Because people start seeing it. And I feel like that's what you're kind of doing too, right, with your nonprofit and all of that, and even with Journeyman, like, you know, I was able to kind of see that with you guys and be like, hey, like, why don't, they're like, hey, like, why don't we do it? Why don't we try it? Maybe it'll work here too. It all starts with that, you know, it all starts with the church, you know, as the people that are in the church, you know, trying to make a change in their local place, in their community, and then kind of growing out from that. I think it's talk about more, right? And it's something that we really need to kind of see and kind of come up with plans and the changes that we can make to be able to kind of better, you know, our from that a little bit and going into a more kingdom thing. I know you mentioned kingdom, right? And that kingdom mindset, right, that we hear and how it's all about the kingdom, growing that kingdom. And so how can we be more kingdom minded as well? What are your thoughts on this, man?
Yeah, no, definitely, bro. I appreciate that. That's one of my favorite questions. I think the first and foremost is the basics, is keeping God at the center of what we do. Not about my organization or my doctrine, you know, because that's one thing I had to unlearn when I got involved in community, because there were other faith-based nonprofits that didn't think like I did. They weren't apostolic. You know, yeah, call me a reprobate, but I work with non-apostolics and non-Pentecostals in the community, everyone, you know. So, but their heart for God, and even then, the Bible says that, you know, like Aquila and Priscilla, they didn't rebuke Apollos. They taught him a more perfect way. Kingdom-minded, you know, be aware that, you know, that there is a need within the community. And to me, it's like a kingdom mindset. It trains us to prepare to deal with people from all walks of life. It doesn't matter their socioeconomic background. It doesn't matter their race, ethnicity. It doesn't matter. The mindset that there's only one church. That's the body of Christ. So, and when we understand that, it's like, you know, we understand that the kingdom of God is more than what we see on any given Sunday. The kingdom of God. There are people right now all over the world that they're part of the kingdom of God. We won't know until we get to heaven. but I think that when we lay aside our walls, we allow ourselves to be vulnerable. We lay aside our not our absolute truth. There are certain absolute truth. Now say that. Born again in Jesus' name, born of the water, born of the Spirit. There are certain absolute truth we believe in. We believe in one God. But everything else, oh, they may not dress like me. Doesn't mean I can't work with them side by side. If they're not with, they're not against me, they're for us, right? They may not look like me. They may have a beard, you know? So it's like, you know, like it's getting outside of the mindset and being a kingdom-based church. Our focus is on God and people. And when we get everything else, we kind of like focus on just that. It changes the dynamic of things. Like, you know, right now we're doing a, I'm waiting on the city of Modesto to approve the permits, but the Lord had put on me to do an outdoor worship and praise service. Being in the community, I know a lot of other churches that they have a heart for God. They have a heart for God. They don't look like us. So many people might say, like, why are you working with them? I'm being obedient to God. Well, we have different praise teams that are going to be participating, some apostolic, some non-apostolic. We have different worship leaders, and in my mind, it was just a worship service for the community. Where, and putting it together, it was funny seeing the different groups come together, because like some won't talk to each other, but they believe in the same God. It's like, come on, man, you know. So bringing that together, like, that's to me kingdom minded, is we can come collectively together and lift up the name of Jesus Christ and watch Him do. I mean, look what's happening right now. Another university going into revival in Texas. Hundreds were just baptized today. You're going to tell me God is not on the move? That's the kingdom of God, right? You know, the desire to display God in be display Him outside cultural and social impact, like bigger than that, right? And allow Him to do the transformation. That's to me is the kingdom. You know, it's laying aside our differences and really seeking Jesus. Because, you know, even with the Jews and the Gentiles, they were fighting. You know, God came and, you know, God came and did away, you know, did away with the division, bro. And I think that's the problem is, you know, the kingdom of God right now, the people of God are so under attack because we're so divided. you know, a kingdom divided cannot stand. And that's why we see things happening. But what would happen if we just came together like a military, you know, came together and just started taking territory for the Lord? You know, there'd be a greater revival, greater outpouring of the Spirit. And I think we have to stop limiting. In order to be kingdom minded, we have to stop limiting God to a box and saying it only works this way. You know, in the last days, he says he would pour his Spirit amongst all flesh. He doesn't say so and so. He says all flesh. So once we get out of the mindset, we can't control. God's going to do what he wants to do. You know, bro. I was like, if they don't look like me, talk like me, act like me, they're not, you know, I had to unlearn that. And I think that when we become about God's kingdom, when we stop trying to tell God what to do, revival takes place, bro. We've had home baptisms like crazy lately. People getting baptized in the backs of pools, like lakes, rivers. Like, God is on the move. He's just looking for those of us that are just available and willing to go for his kingdom, you know. And I think that the faster, like you said, the faster we learn this as a church, as a body of Christ, the more we see the need. And I think it starts from the top to the bottom, because even with, like, you were talking about with, like, the cave and journeyman, a place of vulnerability, like, our leaders need to be vulnerable, you know, because, you know, we have this hierarchy, you know, it's like one man at the top. That's not the gospel. The gospels were all level. There are different giftings, you know, even the term minister, what does it mean? To serve. That's all it means, is to serve. So when we see that, when it starts with the leadership and it begins to serve and go outside, the people are going to follow. You know, they're going to see that, you know, because more than ever right now, just from what I've seen, I have like probably like 385 hours of community service documented. That's just outside. People are hungry, bro. People are longing for community. People are longing to get outside, you know, of what they're stuck in. We're not the answer, but we have the answer. It's Jesus Christ. So we take that out there. And I think, too, kingdom-minded is equipping our church, equipping our fellow believers, like training them to go out. It's not about us keeping them. It's about deploying them, you know, and letting them fulfill what God has called them to do, you know. And that's how we grow the kingdom of God.
I don't have anything against, you know, organizations and anything like that. I think it's great that there's organizations, but I think they don't work together as much as they should, I think. And if we work together, I mean, we believe the same. We believe in one God. We believe in that baptism in Jesus' name. We believe all the same things. So aside from kingdom, you know, and having that kingdom mind, man, working with that to be able to just better everything that we do when we have that mindset of kingdom and Christ and reaching. The last thing that I kind of wanted us to kind of hit on and touch upon, right? I've heard this many times before, right? And the thing of church over religion. So what's your take on church over religion?
To me, even right now, bro, we're having church. We're sharpening one another. We're edifying. We're encouraging each other. We're learning from each other. Mm-hmm. You know, when I think of religion, I think of the Sadducees, the Pharisees. You know, like, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. You know, religion is just, you can play the part, you can look the part, but never really have a relationship. It's a bunch of rules, do's this, do's that, versus the church, which is a living organism. And I know what you're saying. I see a lot of the, I hate religion, but I love Jesus, you know. And it's, I think that, you know, religion has really painted a bad picture on who Jesus Christ really is. You know, it really has, you know. Because the gospel is simple. He came to seek and save that which was lost. Everything else we add onto it, or we try to take away depending on what church we go to. No, I think that's where the religious spirit comes. Or even going back to our topic earlier, what could be religion, you know? Someone is struggling inside our building, and we'll look at them a certain way and be religious, like, oh, I'm not a sinner like you, you know? No, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. So I think that when we look at that, it's a deep, deep question. But I believe that the church is us, the body of Christ, the ones that have given ourselves over, versus religion, something that's man-made, you know? Because I don't even think the word religious in the Bible. it's man-made. It's something that's, it's a bunch of things that men put together, and because we as men, women put it together, we add and take what we want, you know. But the church is the bride of Christ, the ones that are following the true and living God, you know, the ones that are in it for Christ, you know, not for anything else. Because again, you can have religion but not have God, you know. You can be in the church but not be a part of the church, you know. That's deep in itself. The Bible says, "Many shall say unto me, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not cast out demons in your name and do many wondrous works in your name?" And you'll say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." The church is knowing the true shepherd's voice. We know the voice of God. We know who our true shepherd is. We can discern the voice of God from all other voices. Versus religion, it's not of God. You know, it's more, it's a man-made thing. And I hope that makes sense on the question you asked.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Bible mentions religion a couple. I think in James, if I'm not mistaken, that it says true religion is, and it mentions the orphans and all of that. Yeah, so right. True religion. I think right. There. So I think in that sense, right, it mentions it. But at the end of the day, you know, religion is, in a sense, man-made, right? And they knew the word, right? We see it with the woman. They knew the Bible from the front to the back, but you know that. But they pray publicly so people can see them, right? They did all these things so people can know them, right? And they created all these different things so they can be the highest form of everything. But at the same time, like, they didn't practice a lot of the things that that they were preaching and that they were going to stone, and they were trying to trick Jesus into it, right? And they were like, "You throw the first stone." But he was like, "Well, if none of you guys, you know, have sinned, like, stone her," right? And nobody could, because they all had sinned, and they knew they weren't all what they were supposed to be, but they were there ready to, you know, stone this person. But yeah, man, like, I think just being careful with how we say things and how we do things, and really the heart of where it's coming from. Am I exhorting this person? Am I telling them something that they're doing wrong just because I want to put them down or throw that rock or seem better than them or something like that? Or is it in the right place where I'm trying to tell them that what they're doing is wrong and what they're doing can lead them to a bad place, because it can? But am I doing it to be able to then help them? Like, how can I help you get out of what it is that you're struggling with or doing that we know that biblically is not from God? So I think that's where I'm at. I'm like, if we were to have the right heart and the love for the people that are struggling and the people that are failing and falling, and lending a hand to bring them up instead of just put them more down, I think would change a lot, you know, and it would create again what we were talking about, that community and that sense of vulnerability. Like, they would be more open to be vulnerable with people, and that if we did it in that way and our heart was in the right place when we come to people and you know, tell them what we think that is going on. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's Bible, and we're telling them that they're doing something that is going against the scripture, right? But I think it all falls to how we are saying it and how we are doing it in the heart where it's coming from. But as far as, you know, church and religion goes, I think, you know, we could work on being less religious in some ways. I think all of us can have that in us, you know, that we get so caught up in on the same thing. And again, I'm all for working in the church. I'm all for having a ministry. I'm all for all of that. I think it's a great thing. But when doing so much in the church means doing nothing outside of the church, I think there's something wrong there. serving in churches, I like I said, I think it's great, but what are you doing outside of it too? Are you reaching people?
No, and I think, you know, again, if I can I don't know if I can reward it, but I think when we say the church, like, we can't limit it to the building. Mm-hmm. Like, in Luke chapter 17, I was trying to find the scripture, 17:20, it says, Jesus says, the kingdom of God does not come without observation, nor will they see, you know, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. When we grasp that mindset, mm-hmm. that just like we come and we gather together in the building, we can do that anywhere. Yeah. We can do it in a parking lot, you know. And I think that, you know, Jesus' answer to what the kingdom of God was, it didn't align itself with what the Pharisees thought it was, like you were talking about, you know. It wasn't something to be spectacular or like you know, like a big old spectacle. Mm-hmm. Like the kingdom of God, he came, right, seek and save that which was lost. So I think that when we understand, if a better translation of within you would be, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you, right, among mm-hmm. you. Jesus was telling them this. Why? Because, you know, where there are two or three gathered in my name, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that, yes, and like, I don't, like, let's say, you know, we see everything that's going on right now. Let's say they shut us all down tomorrow. They shut the buildings down. Like, if I can encourage anyone listening to this, is I thank God for the places where we can gather and worship. But I also thank God that my relationship with Jesus Christ is one-on-one. It's not dependent upon a man or a religion, you know? And I think that if everything were to shut down again tomorrow, some people, unfortunately, they won't know what to do because they haven't developed that relationship with God. They don't mm-hmm. understand. Like I believe me and you, bro, with our families, can gather right now and the Holy Ghost will fall upon us and we'll have a time of edifying and we'll be able to fellowship and break bread and the kingdom of God will be in the midst of us, right? And if I can encourage the modern churches to think that instead of, you know, again, a better translation of the kingdom of God is within you, it's in your midst, you know, because Jesus brought the kingdom of God to earth. Jesus was in the presence of the people. He was in the presence of the sick and the needy. He was in the presence of the ones. And then a few times he did go to the synagogue besides reading. He went there to rebuke them and flip a couple tables because they were doing it all wrong, you know. And I think that's what God is showing us, like, you know, the kingdom, right, it was attested by the miracles Jesus did everywhere he went. Everywhere God went, you know, the kingdom of God was there. And we have that ability that everywhere we go, we can represent Jesus, whether it's in the church building, amongst each other, building community, whether it's outside of the church building, amongst the community, our neighborhoods, our cities, and wherever it may be, at school, at work, right? And I think that when we understand that, we realize that, you know, I was really thinking about, even with what's going on with, you know, I recently took a trip to the state capitol because I'm getting involved in pre-law and policy and all that. And, bro, I can feel the oppression in this state capitol building, California. And if you know anything, whatever happens in California, it spread to the rest of the nation. But you know what God was showing me? It's a mess, bro. But you know what God would show me is, like, even here, we can be a voice. You know, where laws are overturned, where we put God back into policy, where we put God at the foundation of our nation, where we get involved in our communities, where, you know, where are the Abrahams that'll plead on behalf of their community? Abraham pleaded on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. God, if there be 50, if there be 40, if there be 20, even Noah, you know, even all these different men in the Bible that they pleaded on behalf, and that's what God is looking for, right? And I think that the when we get that sense of that, we understand that, okay, it's not about the religion. It's about people. It's about the kingdom of God. And you're right in the sense that, you know, like you said, like, you know, how do we approach them? Like, you know, I know when I came to the Lord, I was a drunk, bro. I was a mess. And I'm telling you right now, bro, at that time of my life, if someone would have came up to me like, you need to repent, you're drunk, I probably would have knocked them out, bro. You know what I'm saying? That's the reality. But you know how they got me, bro? My brother who fellowship, who won me over to the Lord, we're still good friends. Bro, he took me out to KFC, bro, bought me a big old piece of chicken, and he would just fellowship with me. And he kept on doing that, and then eventually it was just like, I knew, like, man, and he, the wisdom in that, he saw, you know, that, you know, there's a soul. But I think that that's where we need, especially with what's going on, man, like, you know, only God has the power to change the hearts of men, you know. But we as his ambassadors, we as his representatives, do we truly represent the love of Christ the way we should? You know, with no strings attached, with no hidden agendas, no secret things agendas, just for the sake of reaching them for the kingdom, you know, within our church culture and outside of it. And how do we connect the two? Because we are not of this world. We know that. But he said he's not praying to take us out, but to be amongst, to win them, to reach the lost, you know? So I think that the dynamic of that is hand in hand is like, you alluded to it earlier. You said if we can get things right within ourselves, it'll be that much better to get it right out there. And we need healing within the church culture and then to take the gospel out, because sick people get other people sick. Hurt people, but we can be fully restored, fulfill the calling upon our lives to reach, because that's the greatest commission, to reach souls. Yeah. It really is. Mm-hmm. That's the great commission for all. It applies to all. Yeah. I really think this end time revival will be something that we've never seen before. It'll be so unorthodox, so out of the box, but we won't be able to deny that people are getting saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Just like right now, I think I was sharing earlier, at the Texas University, there was 150 baptisms this week.
I saw that.
They want it.
Yeah,
it's happening.
It is.
I just want to be a part. Lord, I just want to be available to whatever God wants me to do.
And what's crazy,
that's the
man.
Kingdom to me.
Yeah, and what's crazy, I think about it too. I'm like, I see all these churches, right, and all these places, and like people coming by the hundreds, right, and I'm just like, man, I'm like, we believe in baptism, Jesus' name, right. And many of these churches are not baptizing in them in the name of Jesus. And I'm like, why are we not having these things? Why is it not happening in our churches if we have the truth? I just think about it and I'm like, what is going on? What is it that we're doing or that we're not doing? That move of God with unbelievers is happening. We see it a lot happening in our services and a lot our everything, right? Like in our churches and stuff, and many of them I've seen it. But many times with the people that are in the church already, why are we not seeing this revivals with people that are not saved, with people that are outside of our church? And I just think about that sometimes, and I'm like, why are we not having these things happen in our churches, that people get saved by the hundreds, right? And I think it's just a thought for not just myself, but I think for everybody that's kind of listening to the podcast, and just kind of think about that. Like, what are you doing yourself to impact your community and your church, and to be able to give a place to God to move in our churches in that way, you know?
That question you asked, why? Like, because I was, when I was getting ready for this, I was writing different notes down. It's been crazy, bro. I'm in school 5 days a week, but I've been excited, right? And one thing I wrote was, you know, again, it's just going back to that mindset, bro. Why we aren't seeing it is because I feel like sometimes we're stuck in the old covenant. We're come and see, come. We want them to, we attract, come. The come and see experience. But Jesus Christ showed us, you know, go and make. You have to go and make. You know, I didn't join the military because they told me to come. I joined the military because the recruiter was at my high school, come, going out to me. You know, they go out and they get them, right? You know, like, you know, and I think that new covenant churches and believers are, when they get focused on making disciples, they will increasingly fill the world with other disciples. It'll multiplication. It'll reciprocate, right? Disciples of Jesus, who is who? The glory of God. So, like, you, if I'm a disciple maker and I go out there, what's going to happen? It's going to multiply. But we have to get out of the mindset of come. You know, because the reality is, like, you know, you said something key. And again, nothing against the organized church, but in these revival services, in these conventions, who is it? It's always the same saved people. What would happen if there was a convention filled with 10,000 souls who weren't saved and the Holy Ghost came upon them? The miracles, signs, and wonders, you know, but we get so used to formalities, you know, and, you know, I believe that, you know, what God says is true of us is that we're, his missionary servants, and our job is to seek to fill the world not just with church buildings, but with his glory. I can't contain the glory of God to a church building. But if we were, I mean, if we were to go out two by two, if 12 men were able to turn the then world upside down, what would happen if even just twice a week, as believers, we just went out there and just met people, just walked with people? You're going to tell me God's not going to honor his word and move? And you know, understand that the completed work of Christ, his shed blood, he secured us forever as part of this royal priesthood. So we have that authority, you know, where we no longer stand outside, bro. We have the glory of God within us, right? So we can take this out to the world. And you know, if the bulk of ministry happens and it's focused on a church building once or twice a week, it could be we're still laboring in those old covenant ways, in that Old Testament ways. Our bulk ministry, it should come, we get edified, boom, go out there, right? It shouldn't happen. The bulk of our ministry, what God, again, the word ministry means to serve, shouldn't just happen in the building, right? Life and opportunities to enjoy our authority and privilege as God's children is to go and take the gospel, bro. We have that authority. He's given us that authority, right? Not hiding away a few hours in our building and then asking God, hey, God, can you lead me to a soul? If I'm hiding and I'm never exercising the authority he's given me, you know, and you know, and we have to ask ourselves, like, as a church, as a family, as a body of Christ, you know, are we fulfilling the great commission God has called us? Because in my mind, it's like, bro, I'm telling you, bro, these home Bible studies we have different, like, imagine like a map. We have different, we call them gospel outposts, different homes with different, and bro, sometimes in our gatherings, we'll have 20 to 30 people. We'll meet in the backyard, worship, sing, and the, bro, miracles, signs, and wonders are happening. People are getting healed. There was this one lady who had kidney disease. She got healed right there. Demon possessed, being liberated. And they're getting saved. And right there, they'll get baptized. They'll get the Holy Ghost. And we just continue to disciple them and work with them. And then they go in there. It's like the book of Acts. And we're seeing these things happening. We're seeing these things happen in spaces like, I posted it last week on Instagram. At my university, there was a group of students that were praying, having prayer meeting. We got connected. I just went there to support. And there they are in the name of Jesus Christ having a prayer meeting in the middle of a university, bro. You're going to tell me God's out of the move? I didn't go there and tell them, you guys don't look like me. You're wrong. You're not apostolic or Pentecostal. You're going to hell. No, I went there and I prayed with them and I encouraged them, connected with them. And out of that, they want to start their life group, their Bible. Yeah. Like, God is on the move, man. We just have to see the bigger picture, you know?
No, yeah. I agree, man. And I think, you know, I think the whole thing for me is working in both of those things. I think it's so important that we do have a community at church. Like, for example, you know, going to church on Sunday or midweek service or whatever it is. What are we doing with the rest of our days? What are we doing with the rest of that day that we after or before we go to church? What are we doing with that time? Who are we reaching? Like, I think we definitely need more of a focus on home things, like a youth group that we ourselves, like here at our home, you know, that we hold here at the house, and we have studies and all of that, and our church is pretty big on it. Anywhere from, like, I think 12 to 15 of them are around there, and I think it's great, and it gives a very different sense of community and just being outside of the church building and being able to be together and come here and they feel more at ease than just walking straight into a church that they're not used to. And being able to bring souls here, right? It's kind of like a step into church kind of thing where like they do. So I think it's a great thing to meet at homes. And I mean, Jesus did it back then as well, right? And so I think it's very important, man. But brother, I know we can keep on going forever, but thank you so much, man, for coming on again and being on here on the podcast. I think this conversation was a great conversation, and I think a lot of good can come out of it. Again, you know, kind of shifting that focus into community and kingdom and just being able to reach more, because there is a lot of laborers I know we hear the other side as well, but there is people that want to do it. A lot of the times they just don't know how to. And I think the more that we create a place where learning and a place of like, hey, I can show you how, right? Or I can tell you what I've done, and sharing what works and what doesn't work with each other, because it's different for every community. It's different for, you know, different people. It can be different there where you are in more Northern Central California than for me out here in New Mexico. Very different types of communities, different struggles, different things. So we really have to be able to see the culture side of things as well as a church, and see where we're at, to be able to then help the community together and be able to help them better. But thank you, man. I appreciate your time, and you, we need to have some conversations on the phone outside of the podcast, man, because we haven't talked in a while.
Let's do it, bro. Man, I appreciate you affording me the opportunity to be here. And I'm just excited, man. I'm excited. Like I said, your podcast, I still listen to it, and I appreciate the what you're doing, bro. And, you know, I believe that God is just shifting things, man. He's doing great things in a different way. New wine, new wineskins, you know. So keep it up, bro. Keep up the rugged gospel. It's good to be on. Hopefully I'm not. That was 4 years ago. It was the last time. That's a long time, bro. But here we are, man.
But thanks again, man, and good having you on, brother. And we'll have another chat soon, hopefully. And I appreciate you and everything you're doing with the veterans as well. And give this guy a follow on Instagram, and his, you can help or reach out to him as well, maybe on how you can do something for veterans or for different things in your community. Definitely reach out to him and ask him what it is that your questions. I'm sure that he's open to those questions and helping create more community and helping the community as a church. But again, man, thank you. And for all the listeners, thank you for listening to this episode, and hope you got something good out of this and a conversation with somebody else about this, and see what they think, see where they are at, and share with them really like what your heart is and what changes you can make in your local place. But again, man, thank you for coming on, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rugged Gospel. I want to thank you all so much for all the stars and reviews and all your support this far. If you haven't, please leave us a review and a rating, which helps the podcast grow and be more visible to people. Make sure to follow us on Instagram for all announcements, and please comment. We'd love to hear from you. And lastly, we're so excited to announce that we are now on YouTube. Please go and subscribe to the channel. The link will be listed below. Thank you all again, and we'll see you on another episode of The Rugged Gospel.